Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Rowland County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. And Judge Blevins, thanks for being with us. Welcome back to the show.
My pleasure. A lot to cover today.
Well, we sure do have a lot of things to cover. One, that we always seem to start with the jail, so let's go ahead and talk about the new jail first of all. And I know that one of the things we've been talking about regularly is the site for this facility.
And I can give that to you today.
Can you talk about that? Go ahead.
I can talk about it. Yes, we got the report back, and the ecology part or the survey on the environmental part, so you don't have any hazardous chemicals there that you have to be concerned about. We got passed out with flying colors. And it's the old tobacco warehouse, the one on 60, and it's the one closest to town. So it's next to Cottle Seed. It's about a six-acre site that, and then there's some other acreage with it as well. Paid about, we're going to haven't paid for it yet, but we've signed a contract to pay him, and we think it's a good best location we could find. We've looked all over. We've looked for about 30 some different locations, and you'd look at those versus this one. I think we've got the best site.
What price did you wind up having to pay for it, or what have you agreed to at this point?
We've agreed to $700,000.
Okay, $700,000 for the site. Mm-hmm. And how big did you say it was?
6 acres is where the building site, and then there's some acreage in behind it, maybe 3 or 4 acres behind it, that will give us some, hopefully some room for parking.
I was going to say also, it sounds like you might have room for some expansion
That's what we're trying to build the jail facility. We've talked to our engineer, our architect, and we're going to try to fix it where we can add jail beds if we need to.
What do you feel like the benefits are of this particular site?
Well, it's as close as we could find to the judicial center, which I think is important. It's inside the city limits, which means we've got fire and police protection. It's not very little. I mean, as far as the utilities are already on site. It will take some money to tear down what's there and dispose of that. Plus, there's a lot of it's concrete and some blacktop, and I understand that'll all have to be torn up and hauled away as well. There is some asbestos that was some concern, but we understand that the removal of asbestos is mainly you just have to keep it wet and moist when you're tearing it down, and the landfill can take that material, so we don't have to travel very far to get rid of the material.
When do you anticipate starting work?
Well, we're going to have to get a survey. We have to have a survey of the land, but we think that's pretty cut and dry. It's been surveyed before when he sold parts of it. So, but we have to have a new survey and make sure we're getting exactly what we're paying for. Hopefully in the next 30 days we'll maybe have that taken care of, and then maybe I've got a meeting with the Department of Local Government on the 29th of this month, and hopefully they'll allow us to sell bonds and we'll have the money to pay for it.
I know that there had been some debate here recently regarding the possible size of the new jail. I think it was somewhere around 240 beds, almost all the way up to 300. Have you been able to work that out with the architect?
I think the architect's going to try to build one around 250 beds, and we're still negotiating with them on that and discussing. We met with some people or talked to some people from Oldham County. Of course, Oldham County owns their own land. We had to buy the land. They're in the court as well on the $1.5 million. We think we're going to win that case. I don't see how we cannot win the case. It's just a matter of getting the state to pay for those engineering fees and architectural fees.
Will a 250-bed facility provide you with enough income? I know that was a concern, and that was, I guess, originally why they talked about 300 beds.
Well, we're hoping we can get 300 eventually, but the 250 will help hopefully make it less expensive than what we're paying now. Because we're paying about $1.2 million right now to take care of the jail that holds about 80 people. It's got about 120, so that could turn into a lawsuit and cost all of us a lot of money. So the idea is to hopefully build it big enough that we will not have overcrowding.
The original idea was also to pay about $15 million for the building of the facility. Has that price changed at all?
We're still looking close to that price, I think, somewhere between $14 and $15 million. And, then, of course, you've got to add the cost of the engineering, the cost of the construction manager, and the cost of the land itself. And now we're going to have the demolition of the – that's about another could be $200,000 to $300,000 on top of that.
And can the county afford it? Because we talked about paying for it the last time, and I guess you're still working out the details there.
I think we've got enough money to – I think we can afford it, because if you look at what it's going to cost not to build a jail and to start transporting your prisoners, that's going to be about $2 million a year, and then you're sending people maybe perhaps all the way down to West Kentucky, Fulton County, because there's not many jail beds here in Eastern Kentucky. And so you have to send them somewhere, and we would wind up paying a lot of money and have no control over that.
How big is it, though, to finally get this part of the project, naming of the site, figuring all that out in terms of moving forward? How important is all that?
It's key. You got to get that first big baby step, and this has been a baby step as far as I'm concerned. It's taken a long time to make that first step like babies do, and but we're moving forward. We're excited that we've got a good piece of land, and I think this land, that's kind of an eyesore up there. It's an old warehouse. It's an old warehouse. I think it's going to be we'll tear it down and hopefully build something that'll look attractive to the people.
Do you think you can get the new jail possibly open by late 2016? That's optimistic,
no,
I guess.
That's very optimistic. We're looking, I think they're telling us about 2 years, and that's if everything goes good right now.
Okay, and I guess part of this, too, is that you've got to deal with the university for the current jail
property.
Yes, we do.
I had conversations with the president yesterday in regards to that. He's going to work up some kind of scenario for us to look at, maybe a couple of choices, and then we'll hopefully sign some kind of a written document.
All right. On another issue in regards to the detention center, you also have some agreements now in place with three counties, I guess, to hold their prisoners?
Those are pretty typical. Those have been signed usually every year by each one of the jails in the surrounding area. If they've got a problem, then they've signed a contract with us to take care of those prisoners. We also sign contracts with some of those same counties that'll take care of ours if we have needs.
Do you have to also, though, start looking at putting into place contracts with all these counties to send their inmates once the new facility is open?
I think these are the same kind of contracts. They're year-long contracts, and hopefully those people will realize it's to their benefit as far as the time and the miles you have to travel, and hopefully they'll continue to use Round County, and hopefully more of them will, with a new facility, will want to use this facility.
I know these contracts are with Menifee County, Bath County, and Montgomery County. And in the past, I think we still do this whole Morgan County prisoners.
Morgan,
too.
I think we already signed one from Morgan. That was in another session. We signed that one. I think Elliott County has also signed one.
Okay. Any other counties possibly, maybe?
Well, I'm hoping Fleming County will eventually. And Bath County, I think they're on the list, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Bath County. Yes, they're on the list.
Hopefully Fleming County, we've got to work on them. But they send most of their prisoners up to Mason County.
Now, on some other issues, I see that you heard from Tony Pence from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, along with Larry Combs, about the Center for Rural Development. Maybe you could talk about that a bit.
Well, Tony wasn't there. We didn't get to talk about it. I talked a little bit about it for him. No action was taken on that. We did listen to Mr. Combs from the Center for Rural Development. They've got a program called Rural Secure, I think is the name of it, and it's what it is we would back all our documents up on their server, and they'd be our cloud more or less, and they relatively inexpensive. I'm looking at all the other each member, the sheriff has his backup, we have our backup in the court, in the judge's office, the county attorney has a backup, the clerk has a backup. We're trying to look and see if we can put all of them together and maybe save some money doing that. And also with the new dark fiber that's going to be coming in, it makes sense to go ahead and try to use them.
All right. Another issue that has been something that the fiscal court and you have been dealing with, the passage of a budget for 2015-16, and it sounds like you've got that in place.
We signed it. The only major change was that we agreed to put Ms. B. Craft budget, her salary back into our budget. She's been doing that for many years. There was some question whether we could do it better. We looked at it, and of course the city kind of made a retaliatory move by taking some of the funds out of their ambulance service to kind of offset what we were taking from her position. So we've decided to continue the relationship we have with them, and hopefully they'll put that money back into the ambulance fund. She did come in with some wonderful news. It's bad to to be laying somebody off. So by us not doing that, she did give us some excellent news. We were got about a $590,000 check that we weren't expecting that from. I guess we were expecting some, but this is pretty high, and it's from the payroll tax. So it's an additional $590,000 that we didn't know we were going to have this year.
Oh, that's pretty critical, obviously, when you're talking about losing state road aid.
That's very critical. That helped. And, you know, we've been getting that money. It's a part of the payroll tax. Again, I made a move again to try to increase the payroll tax 0.5%. I couldn't get a second, couldn't get any real major discussion on it. Most everybody, you know, when you're sitting there with, we do have some surplus or carryover money, and then you add this 590 to it, puts us about $1.7 million. My concern, and I think many of the other concerns are the concerns about building this jail facility, if we're going to be able to make those bond payments when we get that thing built.
Do you think you can without that tax?
Well, I don't know. You know, if the economy keeps moving along, we keep adding jobs, keep adding payroll to this, maybe we can. But we're still not going to have the money to go out and build this recreation facilities, and that's what I was going to try to do is dedicate about $1 million. I think the university, not the university, but the Recreation Board has already said they're going to try to donate $1.2 million to Sunnybrook. I wish we could have put $1 million to go with that, and I think we could have a very nice facility, maybe not have everything we want right now. But and also I put a sunset on that discussion was that it would only be for 1 year. There'd be a tax of an additional 5% or additional 0.5%. For 1 year, and at the same time, I could take about $500,000 of that and put into the road fund another $100,000. I could have given all the county employees a longevity pay, which would have been beneficial for them, and especially with us raising the if we could have raised the payroll tax, the 0.5%, it would have been a burden on those individuals. This would offset that burden on our county employees.
I know how you feel about this. Do you maybe go back next year when you look at the budget and take another run at it?
I think I'll take another run at it. I think we're going to have money if we're ever going to have the recreation facilities that I think this county needs. If we're going to be a hub for recreation, a hub for shopping, a hub for the medical facilities, I think we're going to have top-notch facilities, and I think the only way we're going to do is pay for them.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Moraz. We'll pause on the show, come back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony Weaver for Health Matters. Secretary of State John Kerry recently fractured his femur when his bike hit a curb in Switzerland. Now, Iranian nuclear disarmament has been curbed by a new Curanian femur dislegament. Join us for the Kerry John Show and ask your doctor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to the front page. I'm Chuck Moraz again. We're talking with Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins on the program today. And Dr. Blevins, you talked about this here a moment ago in regards to the issue with the city. I know that initially in the budget, $29,000 had been removed. This was for payroll tax administration, that had been given to the city and then helped with this administration. But at the same time, the city came back in their budget saying, well, if you're going to take this $29,000, we can't afford to give you the $39,000 for the ambulance service. And that's created some controversy, obviously, and some hard feelings. Is there some friction now between the city and the county?
Well, I don't think there's great friction. There's always been a little friction there, and it's been worse at times. I don't think it's that bad. Jim, Tom, and I both want to have maybe more joint meetings so we can talk about these issues and try to come to some agreement. We're all in the same boat, and I'd like to see us work hand-in-hand try to solve our problems.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, I was talking to someone about this issue the other day, and they said, the one thing about it that they were disappointed about was they said that, you know, the only people that really lose on this whole deal are the citizens of this area.
That's always true. I mean, anytime you can't agree and you continue to nitpick at each other, then that's not taking care of the people that we're supposed to be taking care of. So I know the mayor and myself, we're going to continue to try to have a very good relationship and trying to move this city and the county forward.
Yeah, he had suggested joint meetings between fiscal and court and city council.
Well, I think we've all we agreed to that in an initial meeting. We just need to start planning them and holding them. And probably around budget time would be the most appropriate time to do this. I think hopefully next year we will try to have some joint meetings not only this year, but also closer to our budget time next year. Both of us need to, both groups need to come together and discuss, hopefully in honesty, about what needs to be done for the city and the county.
Now that the county has gone ahead and put back into the budget the $29,000 for the payroll tax administration that they've been giving to the city, do you expect the city to come back then and give you the $39,000 for the ambulance service?
That's kind of the feeling that we've been told that will happen. Hopefully it will happen. If it doesn't, it will. Hopefully we won't have to retaliate. We've got a little money. We can take care of those things. And I think this will work out. I believe the city will come back and redo their budget. It's a small amount of money in comparison to the total budget.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the entire budget, what was the amount? Do you remember?
The total budget is about I think it's a little over $9 million, $9,035,670. We've got about, with the $590,000 would have put us about 1.7 by the time we take all those things out of the to take care of the road fund and a few other things. We also received $100,000 that we didn't expect. We thought that money was going to be taken care of, actually taken by the Congress, and that was on the money for the National Forest. That money did come through. 50% of that goes, but about a little over $100,000. 50% of that goes to the school system, and we'll take that 50%. The other $55,000, and we will we're in dire straits. We don't have a grader, and we're going to try to purchase a grader with those new dollars. It leaves us with about $1.3 million of carry forward. Of course, we're budgeting that carry forward into this next budget. And but if the things continue, we'll have hopefully $1 million each year in kind of a carry forward. Again, that with what's going to happen with the jail, all of us are concerned we're going to have enough money to pay our bills. That's the other thing you mentioned with the president up here at the university, and that I think I'm not sure if it's July of this year or July or January of next year when that actually agreement would be met. So we're trying to ask the president along with the Board of Regents to hopefully give us another year or so and try to give us with very little rent, we hope, or have to pay them back for the rent of the building.
Now, with the budget, generally the jail is the biggest expense inside the budget. That's, is that the case again?
Yeah, I would say it's always about $1.2 million, and it's going to be more because we're going to be building, and if we don't fill it up, we're going to be in dire straits. We'll have to raise revenue. But I'm hoping that we won't have to do that. But again, my main concern is I think, and during the debates when all of us were running for, including the Republican as well, the biggest issue was recreation facilities. I think the people in this community know that we need them. And I just saw a photograph of the new swimming facility they built down in Frankfort. And people look at that and say, man, we need that too. But again, to get those kinds of things, you got to pay for them, and my court right now doesn't want to pay for them.
I think the biggest fear among a lot of people is that we've talked about these recreation facilities now for several years, and nothing seems to be moving forward, and people are getting frustrated.
Well, again, I think with the Recreation Board willing to put $1.2 million, that's a big step forward, $1.2 million, and I think they've pretty much in agreement with that, and I think the city will they've got to get the city to go along with it, but I believe the city will. I think the city knows we need these facilities.
So you're still optimistic this is going to happen?
I'm optimistic that we'll get part of it done. It may not be exactly what we want, but it will at least hopefully have some ball fields with lighting and softball fields and little league fields for the children here. If you don't have those facilities, you're going to wind up paying more in jails, and you're going to wind up paying more in drug rehab and those types of things. You got to keep these young kids' minds busy and their hands busy too.
It's an economic development thing too, isn't it?
I think it is too. I think when you bring people to your community and you can show off excellent recreation facilities and for their children as well as the people they employ, I think that's a selling point. I think that's the missing point right now, the missing piece of the puzzle that we really need.
Also at the meeting, I know that discussed again was that pipeline proposal regarding Kinder Morgan, and what's the latest on that?
We passed a resolution. It was a little weaker resolution than what the one I initially brought forward about 2 months ago. But it does say that we're against it. We think it needs more study, that it could cause some real harm to the people of this region. It was passed unanimously by my court and myself. We had several of the people there that live close to the pipeline. I think they were satisfied. There's also a meeting, I think the 23rd of this month, at the Carl Perkins Center with Tom Fitzgerald, who leads the charge on many of these environmental issues down in Frankfort. He's a lobbyist, and he's going to be there as well as an attorney. He's going to be there to try to give us some guidance and maybe some hope that we can stop this from occurring.
I was going to say, can you stop it?
Well, I think there's ways to stop it. I think, you know, with the federal government's going to make the final decision, but I think the more they hear from our communities and other communities, I think that plays into their decision-making. There's some other method that we might be able to make them bond each mile of that pipeline for if there's ever a if there is any damage or destruction, that they would have to bond to take care of that kind of issue and clean up. That could make the pipeline very expensive, and it might make them back off as well. That's one of the issues I think Tom will bring forward at this meeting.
Yeah, you bring that up, and I was about to ask you, are there ways that you can maybe go, even if it's approved, work to get it stopped and make it at least not cost-effective for them to go through Rowan County?
That would be my recommendation. If I can get the other members or the majority of my members of my court to go along with me, I'd be willing to try to do that, to make some kind of – they would have to bond each mile. And that way we would make sure that we have the money to take care of. We wouldn't bring back people's lives, but it would be damaging to them. And also it could help us clean up the environment, because it'll be a real catastrophe if it ever does break.
Well, as you talked about on the last show, it's a 70-year-old pipeline you're talking about sending.
70-year-old.
Yeah, 70-year-old pipeline. And so you're talking about sending liquid natural gas through this. And as you talked about, it's much more explosive.
And under much higher pressures, which means it's more likely to leak.
Okay. On another topic, the Tri-County Animal Shelter, and I know there was a note here about Morgan County. Maybe you could explain.
Yes, they've closed their dog pound. One of the people up there who's been working decided to take another job. I think Miss Stacy up there, she's been real active in raising money for the dog pound up there. And they have run up on some, you know, people get tired and people just can't continue what they're doing, especially their volunteers. And so they're going to have to close their dog pound. They've contacted us to see if we'll be willing. My court says we'll be willing, but it's going to cost, you know, I think about $500 per month, and then $15 per dog.
So actually, the dog pound could come out a little bit better in terms of making a little money now.
We're trying to make it where it doesn't cost the citizens of Round County. I mean, Carter County winds up using, and also Bath County, I think. Not Bath County does it, but Fleming County and Carter County and us are mainly the ones that use it. But my dog warden seems to think that they can manage another 20 dogs. That's what they're telling us. They usually will have about 20 dogs.
Is the facility itself at least breaking even right now? Or?
I don't know if it breaks even. It's real close. We spend a little money some months, but just for dog. Used to we get donations, and that's, again, I'm going to continue to try to contact companies to see if we can get some donations to help with the dog food. I think Walmart used to give us any broken bags out there, but now I think they've decided to send their bags back and have it repackaged. So that's cost us some money. First time I think we've ever had to buy dog food was this past month.
Okay, so it's something though that it's holding its own, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're not going. If we're losing money, it's not big money. If we're making money, it's not big money. It's about a break even.
We're about toward the end of the show, maybe about 60 seconds left. Some final thoughts on some things.
Well, look forward to the upcoming year. I think we're setting pretty good shape. We're getting this jail moving forward. I'm excited about that. Actually, I'm getting ready to leave this afternoon, go to the Judges Association meeting with magistrates, and hopefully be some of my magistrates there as well. It's a good chance to get to meet some of your counterparts and to see how they're doing, how they're faring,
and see
what's working for them, maybe bring some of those ideas home. So I'm looking forward to these next couple of days. Be down in Louisville. I'll still be available by cell phone if anybody needs me at 606-776-0706. Please feel free to call me, even if I'm in a meeting. If I can't talk then, I'll call you back.
All right, well, have fun.
Thank you.
Again, our guest on the front page, Dr. Walter Blevins, Judge Executive of Rowan County. I'm Chuck Morales, host of the program. See you next time.